Today's audiocast for Friday, July 14th, 2006 is sponsored by Aviation Consumer, the consumer resource for pilots and aircraft owners. I'm Mike Blakeney reporting for AvWeb's Audio News Service. There's an election coming up this fall, but it's probably not the one you're thinking of. In October, the Airline Pilots Association will elect a president, and it's the first time in 16 years that there are at least two candidates in the running. Dan Brannon is trying to unseat longtime ALPA president Dwayne Wirth and told AvWeb's Russ Niles this week he thinks the union must embrace change to continue to be relevant in a rapidly changing airline world. And he took a few moments to expand on the differences as he sees it between the two candidates.
Number one is just our internal demographics within the association, but that's an issue that we're going to have to deal with, obviously, internally. But it affects everything else we do, and rising out of that are an age 60 issue, globalization, open skies, and I think those are all indicative of that internal issue that which I'm speaking about, and that's the divisiveness that's occurred due to deregulation and globalization.
Well, I think the age 60 issue is the one that's captured the most attention and the most comment from pilots. Where do you and the current president, Dwayne Wirth, differ on the age 60 issue?
Well, certainly, I would agree with you. It certainly is the one that has the most focus right now because it's before Congress, and it's also an international issue. The IKA standard ensures that the piloting past the age of 60 is coming to the United States, and it's coming soon. And we also know there's things about that. The American pilots will be at a competitive disadvantage. And by the way, this is my beliefs. But as a result, if we keep our age 60 as is, the American pilots will be at a competitive disadvantage globally if we do not comply with the new standard. Among other things, retirement and retiree health care will be significantly higher at the companies where the pilots are not permitted to fly past 60. I think the big thing is the age 60 rule is a point of significant professional division between those who have retirement plans and those who do not, and even more so of late between the older pilots approaching age 60 and the younger pilots. So the internal competition in this matter, we have to eliminate that if we expect to have the solidarity necessary to compete effectively with our corporations. And there's a model in place for this already, and it's in Canada. The Air Canada Jazz, which is actually an ALPA carrier, they do have a model in place, and they have made retirement at age 60 optional. And optional is a key phrase. Pilots who wish to retire at 60 with no penalty, they may do so. But those who wish to fly longer and put money away for retirement, well, they have that option to do that as well. Well, the proposed legislation does not mandate retirement at age 65. It only permits it. It doesn't make it a requirement. So contractual choice in this matter appears to be the reasonable solution, and it addresses the desires for those who want to fly past 60 or for those who want to retire at 60. A couple other interesting points about this, but ALPA did do an internal survey, the Airline Pilots Association did, about a year ago. Now, the troubling thing about that survey is only 38% of the ALPA pilots participated. That in itself signifies a huge problem. The split on the 38% that did take the time to do the survey was roughly 60 to 40. There again, I think when the survey was done, it was flawed. The educational process was flawed in a number of ways, particularly the way it approached the aeromedical requirements. I think it kind of scared a lot of people into voting against changing age 60 because they believed the flight physicals were going to be a lot more invasive. And the flight surgeons actually stated that there will be no change.
Well, the FAA appears to have softened its stance on age 62. At Sonnenfun last year, Administrator Marion Blakey said quite clearly that the agency was neutral on whether or not airline pilots should retire at 60. Is that a hopeful sign for your side of the argument?
I feel that it is. I think that neutral implies an option. It seems like this is one of those things where keeping the rule as it is just runs counter to every social and economic and philosophical and actuarial force in the universe. And I think that we have the opportunity now to control it and help write the rules. I think if we don't, it will ultimately will control us. And I think the Blakeley stance on this now creates that window of opportunity for us to address this in a more creative fashion. In the past, it's either been yes and no. I think there's an option that we can definitely create. I think that would be better for our entire industry.
Well, what are you hearing from the rank and file? Seems to me like having an option would be something that anybody could support.
It would seem that way. I feel that once people do realize that they have that option, we would see a change in that survey. Right now, majority of the ALPA pilots believe that it's either or, that they're either going to have to retire at 60 or we're going to change to 65, and either will be mandatory. That's just not the case.
Well, it's not the case if you don't negotiate it that way, right?
Technically, the retirement age open-ended, it could be negotiated in your collective bargaining agreements, yes. The FAA can make it mandatory retirement at 65, but they can still leave the option open to retire at 60.
What are some of the other issues, like open skies and that sort of thing, that will dominate this kind of campaign for the presidency?
You know, open skies, foreign ownership. Our legacy so far has been we oppose virtually every change. And we, in the issue of foreign ownership, which is also a part of open skies, we oppose it and we base our opposition on the model that happened with the maritime industry. But I believe, first of all, that open skies are going to happen. It will occur. I also believe that foreign ownership will occur. And again, it's like the age 60 issue. I think that we can do one of two things. Waste time and money on temporary political solutions, or we can get out in front of the issue and control it. And I think the companies and the unions that get out in front of it and learn how to control it can capitalize and benefit from it. I'm not opposed to open skies. I'm not opposed to foreign ownership. On its face, that doesn't mean that I'm not opposed to just having it happen haphazardly. I want to take control of how it happens and how we play in that field once it does happen. That's a huge issue for ALPA pilots. We fear the unknown, and instead of trying to figure out how to capitalize on it, we try and prevent it. I just don't think in this new world that we live in, that's viable into the future.
Okay, well, the election's in October at ALPA's annual general meeting. Where is that going to be held this year?
In Las Vegas.
Oh.
Real crapshoot, I'd say.
Well, we'll be following it.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
That was Russ Niles speaking with Dan Brennan, a candidate hoping to unseat longtime ALPA president Dwayne Wirth. In other aviation news this week, the spotlight is on the cargo industry's accident record after the Miami Herald published a three-part series of stories claiming it's the most dangerous form of commercial flying. Industry officials contacted by FWeb say the story isn't a true reflection of the industry as a whole. A couple of new airplanes are making progress toward production. Sino-Swearingen is building a $20 million assembly plant in San Antonio, Texas, to crank out up to 100 copies of its recently certified S-30 J-2 business jet. And meanwhile in Canada, Seawin has rolled out a production version of its sporty amphibious airplane. The company says certification flight testing has begun and it hopes to be in production by winter. And while leading-edge technology is what gets most new airplanes off the ground these days, a recently retired professor of aeronautical engineering in Toronto borrowed a 15th-century design to launch his new creation. James Delorier saw his single-seat ornithopter fly about 1,200 feet on its maiden flight. Delorier said he was inspired by Leonardo da Vinci's designs for a similar craft, although we should note that da Vinci didn't have access to the small jet engine that boosted Delorier's creation off the ground. For this and more aviation news, go to www.avweb.com. And be sure to log on, especially if you haven't seen the rebirth of avweb.com. If you would like to comment on today's podcast, you can send us an email to audionews@avweb.com. Also, AvWeb is gearing up to bring all the action of Oshkosh right to your computer screen and your iPod with expanded coverage of EAA AirVenture 2006. We'll have extra issues online at avweb.com and three additional podcasts that week. It's the next best thing to being there for yourself. Today's report was sponsored by Aviation Consumer, the consumer resource for pilots and aircraft owners. Look for AvWeb's next audiocast on Monday, July 17th. I'm Mike Blakeney. Thanks for downloading AvWeb's Audio News.